Happy Monday, everybody. This is Bobby Welch. And of course, I've got on the line with me Pat Sherlock. Pat, are you there?
Yeah, I am, Bobby. Nice to talk to you once again on Monday.
It is. It's a great way to start the week. I like these. Kind of, they're creative, they're fun. We always pick some pretty good topics that get sent our way. I think it's good.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I like them myself, so.
Yeah. And for everybody else, if you're joining us, you're listening to Your Sales Doctors. We are a 20-minute weekly radio show about growing a successful mortgage sales team. And each week we are looking at potential strategies that our listeners and our clients send to us regarding challenges and opportunities that they are looking for some extra input on. And as always, we would love to hear from you. So questions are welcomed. And the best way to send us a question is go check out our contact information at the website www.yoursalesdoctors.com. And with that, we'll start with today's topic, which is top recruiting misperceptions and how they hurt performance. So, Pat, this is one of your favorite topics.
Oh, I know.
A lot of good stuff on this.
Oh, yeah. I was excited when I saw the topic because it is, especially today, with so much emphasis on recruiting, what are the issues that are really big misconceptions? So I'm glad you chose this topic. I have to start out with one, and then we kind of can talk about it. But I believe, and certainly what the research shows, the biggest misconception during interviewing is that we overvalue experience and we overvalue academic performance. So we'll talk about academic performance in a second, but let's talk about overvaluing experience. There is no correlation. The longer you work, therefore experience, that you're going to get better. So reality is that
I've worked with those guys.
Yeah. I mean, I must have a daily call with different companies about the sales performance of their originators, and all of them, 99%, all look for experienced originators. So I would tell you that when you actually look at this whole issue of experience, that there's no correlation that will predict sales success. So Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I agree completely. You've got to be very careful. You know, part of it is just, you know, let's say you're an average loan officer and you're doing, you know, 25 loans per year. In all reality, given how many variations to a loan there are, that's not a lot of loans. So if you don't have some really intense, great training on top of just your normal production, then you could be in the business for a couple of years and not have seen near enough to qualify. And then I think with the same thing is inside that experience, you're putting a lot of blind trust inside the companies that the folks have worked for in the past, having done a good job developing the person too. So I think there's two flaws in that thinking right up front.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you brought up an interesting point. We overvalue experience. And the truth of the matter is we do overvalue if they've come from a big name company. I just had this conversation this morning with someone else talking about this issue where, well, we hired them from XYZ, so they should know how to sell. We make these assumptions, and it has nothing to do with what we should be doing in the interview process, which from my viewpoint and what I teach is that we have to screen for talent, we have to screen for our culture, and we have to screen for our sales process. And so whether you worked at Citi, Chase, or whatever, that doesn't mean automatically that, A, you've had a sales talent and therefore are going to be successful at a smaller name company. I see that as certainly one of the biggest mistakes. Is that your experience?
Yeah, there's so much to say about this. I mean, you brought up a lot. I mean, I'm just sitting there going, gosh, which one do I talk about first? Because you brought up the three pillars in which you would evaluate if somebody's a good hire skill. I think you said talent, culture, and then, of course, your process, your sales process. And absolutely, where they worked before, you know, the larger the institution, the more reliant you are on their direct manager, who really has a huge impact on that person's exposure and implementation of any corporate-wide training initiatives or coaching opportunities that that organization offers. Just because it's offered doesn't mean it's implemented well. And the bigger the organization, the more variation you'll see in how the local manager made all those great tools that the company may have, work or not work. So, you know, I don't want the listeners to think that we're being hypercritical or snarky about this, but it's just, I mean, we've just seen it too many times with some of the clients we work with. There's too many things in there. So I would trust, but I would verify. And I think that's probably where you're heading to, is that you've got to have a process in place that's validating your suspicions rather than just thinking it's so, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it is a separate topic to go through it. And certainly, I do a lot of training in that area. And I would say that, you know, what you end up seeing is that companies will only look at experienced originators. And the truth of the matter is, you could have 20 years in the business, but that doesn't mean that you can sell in today's marketplace. I think the other topic that I think is a big misconception that I see, how the candidate performs in the interview is looked at as predicting sales success. So, in other words, if the person interviews well, that is what you're hanging your hat on that the person's going to perform well. Again, just because you are interviewing well, and especially in today's marketplace where the managers are really pressed for hiring, you're mostly not interviewing. As a manager, you're basically selling, getting the person to try to join your company. So I think what we see, and certainly what I see, is that a lot of credence, especially if you don't have any objective tools evaluating the talent, we hang our hat on the fact that he interviewed well or she interviewed well. That's really not predictive sales success. And actually, when you look at the stats, I mean, that is only accurate like less than 25% of the time.
Yeah, people, of course, hopefully, have learned, especially if they're experienced. So now you get a 1-2 punch. The more experienced somebody is, the more interviews they've been on, the
sure.
better they're going to interview regardless of their performance. So
right.
you know, a lot of this actually breaks down with time. You know, I always felt that an interview was an indication of some qualities that I would later want to confirm. That's always what I looked at an interview about. And then I always felt that an interview was also better at indicating maybe how they would fit with the team and with the culture more than the skills. I mean, if you were to dissect what the interview is good for, where would you put that?
Well, I think, again, talent evaluation, look at it like the NFL draft does. They put them through, you know, basically a school to evaluate where they measure how fast they run, the 40-yard run, how much they weightlift and so forth. Well, that's sales evaluation, that's what assessments are for. That's what they're supposed to do. So it shouldn't be a question of does the person have the talent in the interview process. That's really done basically through an objective analysis. So the interview really is about, do you fit our culture and do you fit our sales process? Unfortunately, too often, especially companies with high turnover, you know that's not what's going on. There's no evaluation on talent, culture, or process. And so it's all about, you know, we have the best computer system, we have the best products. I mean, all that stuff, which is so common, is definitely why they have high turnover.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, something I'm seeing a lot out there that I'd love to get your opinion on, is I really see an over-reliance on recruiters to not source a candidate. I think recruiters are great for sourcing a potential candidate, but I see companies and managers using the recruiter to push the recruiting process and oftentimes provide a lot more feedback and action on the process than I think they should. Are you seeing anything like that out there?
Well, I think it dovetails with, I mean, you have a good point about the role of the recruiter, but I think it all dovetails to the pressure to hire bodies. I just had this conversation again this morning about, do the number of bodies equal the number of production? And it's not true, and it's a fallacy within mortgage banking. So we revert to body count which leads itself to having no standards and hoping for the best, which is what I see happening. I do think recruiting should be, it's an important component. And my conversations with recruiters, especially, it's interesting to me when I look at recruiters and talk to them that have been outside the industry, mortgage banking, and now have come to mortgage banking, they're very thoughtful people and they get to see this industry in a much different light than I think sometimes we even have as managers. So the recruiting's critical, but I do think that the emphasis in getting bodies has led to this whole pressure on not rejecting anybody and just hoping to find somebody that's going to come work for you. And you see it every day in our trade media. All these companies touting, they have the best products, the best system. It's just, in other words, they might as well just say, we're desperate and we'll take you. Yeah, I mean, really.
Yeah, I got into a little bit of trouble with a new prospect I was talking to the other day. You know, sometimes as a coach and a consultant, you know, it's really important that we speak the truth sometimes, but it's a delicate balance because you don't want to tick somebody off because you tell them something that's, you know, pretty obvious from the outside looking in, but it kind of offends them in some way or hurts their feelings. But I really think that overall the industry is getting recruiting wrong.
Right.
And I think that there's two ways to build your company. And the one is to develop and improve the results of your existing team. And the second one is recruiting. And I think that if you aren't very good at the first one, then by default, you're going to lean very heavily on the second one.
Right.
But the same factors that are preventing people from taking the time to develop and upskill their current originators to better results, they tend to be the same obstacles that are preventing them from doing a good job in the hiring process. You know, what do you think the manager's role in recruiting should be?
Well, my view, again, I think what's been lost in the translation is that it's become and has been a body count due to refinancing. And so as a result, recruiting, I mean, you can actually get fired for not meeting your hiring goals as a manager. You don't get fired if you're a lousy coach. So not to be blunt about it. So what is the manager going to focus on? He's going to focus on getting bodies in and the whole evaluation of, is the person screened for my talent, culture, and process? Well, that's not happening unless senior management enforces that. The good news is the better firms within mortgage banking do enforce it. Others, not so much. And so, you know, again, you're not going to be fired for coaching, not being a good coach, but you will be fired if you don't meet your hiring goals. So I think that it's quite understandable why managers are really in a selling process of getting people to join them. So recruiting becomes not a screening process at all, and which I think is really led to a lot of different problems. And certainly when you look outside other industries, this approach that we use in mortgage banking is definitely an old approach that you don't really see in newer industries.
Yeah. So here, I guess the misperception would be, if I were to summarize it, is quantity over quality.
Oh, yeah. I think there's no question that we have a warm body approach and still do. My concern for the mortgage banking world, if you listen to the MBA, and they have said that the last 45 years have technically been a refinance market, and that going forward, that's not going to be the case. It's strictly going to be purchase money. And that lends itself to a lot of consolidation because there's a lot of talent that doesn't make it in this new world of actually having to prospect and actually having, you know, to generate referral sources and actually have to sell. So I think the new world is going to raise a lot of these issues. And the other misconception that I see, and again, it has to go back to kind of the analytics of looking objectively of talent that we recruit. Like things as simple as we think if the guy or gal is a good talker or the gift of gab, that that's going to translate into being a good salesperson. And if you're a manager that is a top producer who's a producing manager, you're going to think that that's what, you know, it should be. When you actually look at the research, the gift of gab does not predict sales success in mortgage banking. And if anything, it's not a predictor. So again, a lot of things that have made the recruiting point and the manager's role in it, it has become a body count for sure.
What about, you know, you talk about folks that are just kind of doing a body count. I'm bumping into a lot of people that just aren't recruiting. You know, their upper management is upset because they're not adding the new talent that they've asked be added. And a lot of times when I discuss this with branch managers, the misperception, or at least their perception at the time, is that it's actually makes more sense for them to grow their own production and go out and get two new realtors than it does to go out and get two new loan officers. Are you seeing that as well?
Well, I think you've raised a good point a few minutes ago when you talked about, you know, what can you do as a business owner is improve who you have, which is really a sales productivity issue, or bring more bodies in. And I think that, you know, what senior management at most mortgage companies has gone the body count approach and still is doing that, where they are putting out outrageous guarantees, they're making all kinds of different promises when they've obviously chosen not to operate under sales productivity. So I think that manager who isn't recruiting, if he works for a firm that values the body count, he's going to have a tough time, or she's going to have a tough time, because as I mentioned, I see managers fired for not meeting their recruiting goals, not so much for not being, you know, having their originators productive.
Yep. With a branch manager's personal productivity, I think sometimes it's just economics, right? If they're getting paid 150 basis points
right.
on a loan that they personally generate, originate, and fund, but maybe they're only making 25 basis points on something that another
yes.
originator
right.
does.
Right.
You know, I think that factors in too.
Yeah. I think it's practical that top management has emphasized certain things, and that being one of them is why we have low production on average in the industry. And if you actually look at it, it's been an average of 2 units for the last 10 years. And when you think about all the productivity improvements technology-wise, you know, you think you would have improved your production, but that hasn't been the case. And I think as a senior management, this getting more people has been the way that they have addressed it of how to reach their volume goals. And I think that's led to certainly this whole issue of warm bodies. But the good news are the smart companies have standards and aren't doing that approach and are going the other route, which is sales productivity, which I think is a smarter long-term strategy.
That's great. So what are maybe one or two action items that you would give somebody to take some of these misperceptions and things that could be stalling them and break through them?
Well, I think the first thing that I would suggest is that for the listeners today is to really step back and look at your interviewing and recruiting process in an objective way. Again, most of the time, what I see managers making the assumption, well, I know how to hire, I know how to recruit. Well, I don't think you do. I mean, because if you did, you wouldn't have such poor turnover numbers, which again, as an industry, has been over 50% for a very long time. So I think you have to, step one is for the manager to recognize, well, all right, you know, maybe this is something that I have to revise how I do it. And the smart senior managers recognize that. I think teaching your managers how to hire and recruit is one of the best things senior managers can do.
Yep. So get honest.
Yeah, get honest
get
is
real.
Another way of saying it. Right, right. Yeah.
And then I would pull out of there because you mentioned something several times I thought was very powerful. Make sure that that process is relying on assessments and filters that are not judgment based.
Right.
I think that's big.
I mean, it's just a basic, but I do understand on the other side that when managers are forced to hire warm bodies, they don't want an assessment that's going to reject people. So I do think it's a leadership issue where the senior management has to take, you know, a stand on what I think is their crucial growth pattern, which is how do I bring in, if I'm going to go the sales productivity method, which I believe is the right way to do it, I want to invest training on people that have the talent to do something with that training. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's in their interest. So, I would agree that, you know, you really have to, besides getting honest, you have to recognize that, you know, you need to train these people on how to recruit and interview.
Yep. Well, great stuff, Pat. And thank you for the time and all the great information. And for our listeners, that's it for this week. And thanks for listening. But please don't forget, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get your questions. And you can submit those very easily if you go to www.yoursalesdoctors.com. Have a very great sales week, and we will see you on next week's show.